Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America, for America.
All right, Bob. So I'm going back to find Dan Zangrilli after our last segment,
yes,
as I sometimes do, to talk baseball. And I walk by a man in the hallway here that I've never seen in the hallway here. And he says, oh, hey, Joe, and just keeps walking. And I said, hey, Robbie, wait a second. That's
Robbie
Smikowski.
Yes, it is.
It was incredible. There he was. And here he is.
Hello, gentlemen.
How are you,
sir? It's good to see you.
I did not have this on my bingo card ending up talking on the fan with you guys, but I'm very happy and thankful to do so. I was on with the great Marty Griffin. He was talking about sports gambling and the impact it has on athletes, on how there's a great story was written in, I believe it was yesterday's PG, talking about how Zach Austin, the kid who plays at Pitt, was facing threats on his social media account because of that controversial foul call,
right,
that took place.
Wow. I saw that.
I believe it was sometime maybe last week, and we were just talking about how ridiculous it is that athletes have to face these types of comments from people who, quite frankly, are terrible at gambling.
Right.
Exactly.
It's not Zach Austin's fault.
It's not his fault. It was what he did. But
right.
Now
Zach did not have the desired outcome, but he stepped right up to the microphone and said he did not have his best day, and he was very open and honest about it, but he had to face all these threats, which is just ridiculous. So we were talking about that, and here I am.
And then we were talking about a book project, which is what led me to bring him in here, Bob.
Yeah.
Yeah, this is a fascinating development here. For all baseball fans out there, listen to what Robbie has to say, because I think if you love baseball, and specifically if you've traveled to baseball stadiums, like a lot of people I know have, you will be interested.
Yeah. You know, and I appreciate that. You know, the one thing I learned, I've loved baseball my whole life, long before I got a job working as a TV reporter for three different teams. So I don't know if you know part of the background. I worked with the Minnesota Twins from 2009 to 2012 as their primary TV reporter. Then I did Minnesota Timberwolves. I did the Minnesota Wild. And I did the University of Minnesota hockey team, the Golden Gophers as well. Then I come here and I became the Pirates TV reporter for 11 seasons. And then last year I spent a little under half a season with the Texas Rangers as a TV reporter and host with them. And now I am spending my first full month of March here in the city of Pittsburgh, and it's pretty cool because I've always been at spring training, so I never had a chance to be here. I've never had a chance to see what St. Paddy's Day is like in the last 16 years.
Right.
So
you miss those green hats and green shirts you have to wear?
We had to wear it, Pomp. I'm not kidding you. We had to wear the ugliest green shirts when we did this spring training broadcast, but it was cool. I get it. Like, it was fine. It was just the shirt was ugly. That's all.
Well, you were showing us some photos. I don't know how much of the book you want to give away here, but some of the stuff there was really cool. I was just on the phone yesterday talking about cool books. I forget who I was talking to. One of the books that came out recently, maybe in the last 5 years, is called The Wax Pack. It was a guy out in California.
Cards.
Yes. He said, I'm going to open up a pack of baseball cards from my youth. And this guy grew up in the 80s.
Right.
And every card that comes up, I'm going to go find that person and do a story of his life. And it's an unbelievable book.
That's incredible.
So I'm very keen.
That is amazing.
On great ideas. And I think your ideas is so cool.
Yeah, thank you. And Joe and Pomp, I can't thank you guys enough for giving me the chance to do this, because this is a real passion project of mine, right? So I got let go by the incoming network that came in December of 2013. And or 2013, Jesus, I got here. I worked 2013, see, December of 2023, and I had traveled for a while because I knew at some point in my life I was not going to be traveling to baseball stadiums for a living, making my living traveling the ballparks and asking some, you know, depending on your opinion, dumb questions of baseball players, right, or some good ones. But anyways, I knew at some point in time I was not going to be doing that for a living, so I went and bought a camera before the 2017 season, because the Pirates were getting set to have opening day at Wrigley Field. Now, we always get there a day and a half early for opening day because I try to go to workout day and gather any kind of sound or stories or anything that I need to get in advance of opening day, because obviously it's a very big day. Now, that's not to say we didn't put our best effort the other 161 games of the year, but opening day is so special, and it meant the world to us to put on the best possible broadcast we could as a group. So I wanted to document opening day just with a digital camera, because remember, cell phone cameras were advancing really good, so the price of digital cameras kind of dropped quite a bit because they weren't selling as many. So I bought a real good one for like, I was like $400 or $500. I'm like, I'm going to travel with this. And I love ballparks my whole life. I just love baseball stadiums. Think about it, right? We're on a sports station. You guys know this. You go to an NBA or an NHL arena. For the most part, they're cookie cutter. You have a few one-offs, a couple special features here and there. But by and large, the playing surface is the same. The seating bowl is the same. And you have a few different quirks here and there, but that's about it. You look at football stadiums. Okay, still pretty different, but nonetheless, it's still a football field and a bunch of seats around it. But when you look at baseball stadiums, there's something magical about it. You have seats that are really close to the field, seats that are far if you're in Oakland, or, you know, in different places. But then you have quirks of every place. Every ballpark has a quirk. You have the Clemente Wall in Pittsburgh. You have the Green Monster in Fenway. You have, you know,
the Ivy in Wrigley.
You have splash hits in San Francisco. There is nothing that connects a venue more with its city than a baseball stadium. You get the pool in Arizona. So what I decided to do is rack my brain, and I started to just look around how big my Rolodex really was around Major League Baseball. So I realized, you know what, I think I could compile some pretty good stories, and I just took photos of all 30 ballparks as I was traveling. Most days I would go an hour early to the ballpark and just walk around while it was empty and just take pictures of every possible aspect of the ballpark. Now, a few things. Clubhouses were off limits, so I didn't take any pictures inside a clubhouse at all. So none of those are going to be in the book. But what I did was I would take pictures of what the walk was like for a player once he leaves the clubhouse to get to the dugout.
Cool.
And I took pictures
of
the dugout.
People love to see that. Yeah. Pictures, it's different pictures in every single place.
The bat rack, the helmet rack, how catcher's gear is hung. What does each bullpen, even the bullpens are significantly different from place to place around baseball. You look at the quirks. You look at the concourses, the food stands, the press boxes, the view from the top. Some places have a beautiful view. PNC Park is the best view in Major League Baseball. Oh. I've been to all 30. Nothing matches PNC Park. Nothing. It's as good as it gets. But then you go to places like Milwaukee where they just have a roof and that's it. Now, it's not to knock American Family Field because it's a beautiful ballpark too, but there's just not a lot of scenery. So I kind of wanted to give the avid to diehard baseball fan a tour through all 30 ballparks, right? So you think about it, how many baseball fans, what they would give to travel to all 30 ballparks? So some have, some haven't. A great friend of mine, a guy named Paul Hogan, a retired Pittsburgh firefighter, he's got like five or six more to go. He's trying to knock off all 30, and he's 53 years old and still has a ways to go to do it. Yeah. He started 20 years ago, right? So what I wanted to do is use my experience as a Major League Baseball announcer and my access to just take these photos and kind of share what the experience is like, where you can tour all 30 ballparks in and out through the comfort of your own home. So what we did is I just started calling around, and I interviewed people for the book, just different people connected. Yes, players and coaches, but I'm chasing down a beer vendor in Arizona. I'm chasing down players. I'm chasing down broadcasters, ushers, fans, bar owners, how a baseball stadium has impacted bars and restaurants around ballparks and what it meant. I'm chasing down a guy who owns a restaurant in Baltimore and talks about all the old famous players that would come in there after hours, sit there and drink beers and eat dinner all night. So just a lot of insider access. So if you're an avid to diehard baseball fan, you're going to love it. And I have a couple examples, you know, of kind of what the angle was. You know, Vin Scully, in my opinion, the greatest baseball announcer in the history of the sport, right? I think it varies, but I think he would be in everybody's top three or five, I would think, right, Pomp?
Absolutely. And that voice, it was such a soothing. He did games without a color broadcaster.
Exactly. And he's the last, that'll never happen
again.
He did until the end of 2016 when he stopped broadcasting games. So I went and interviewed Vin's right-hand man, Boyd Robertson, who stood 1 foot away from Vin for 26 years. Mm. And what was it like working with Vin standing a foot away? What was that experience like? Barry Bonds, when he hit number 756, August 7th, 2007, in San Francisco, I interviewed the pitcher that gave up that homer, and he talks about what it was like trying to get a taxi that night because he had a buddy in town going to the game, and they were going to hang out and get a beer after the game. So just a lot of different unique stories And there's over 100 of them. We can go on and on and on. But I'll tell you one more funny one. Glenn Perkins is a former closer in the big leagues, made 3 All-Star teams, born and raised in Minnesota. And in 2013, he made his first All-Star team. And he was in the clubhouse with Mariano Rivera. That was his final year. Gave a speech to the whole American League team in the clubhouse. So he talks about what that moment was like.
Wow.
And then the next year, he got the save in 2014 at Target Field, his home city. And he tells a story about how Idina Menzel, the lady who sung the song Frozen,
yes.
He had 6 and 8-year-old daughters at the time. So he goes up to Idina Menzel and says, "Hey, can my daughters meet you? They're 6 and 8. They love you." She goes, "Yeah, but I would like an autographed ball from Derek Jeter first." So Perkins had to go in the clubhouse and ask Derek Jeter to sign a ball for him so his daughters can meet Idina Menzel. So it's just a bunch of stuff like that. Just
that
a lot
incredible.
Of insider stories.
And I like what you have. You know, it's
Robbie and Smikowski, by the way, is who we're talking to.
Joey has this QR code that is popular now these days. But what does that QR code unlock for you if you're going through this book?
Yeah, so each ballpark is a chapter, and we're going to have a couple bonus chapters in the book, too. We're doing a bonus chapter on the Baseball Hall of Fame, which, by the way, if there are any baseball fans out there who haven't had a chance to get to the Baseball Hall of Fame in Cooperstown, you absolutely, positively have to get there. Absolutely, positively got to get there because it's an experience you won't see anywhere else, and it's an amazing, beautiful, wonderful place for baseball. We're doing a bonus chapter on that, and then we're doing another chapter on a lady named Janet Marie Smith. Have any of you heard of her? And it's not a trick question.
No.
So you remember when PNC Park back in 2021 got redesigned? You know, they took a couple sections out. They added the bullpen bar and the landing. So she helped redesign it, but she also designed Camden Yards, largely known as one of the most beautiful ballparks.
That is
she redesigned Dodger Stadium. So we have a chapter going in on ballpark design and ballpark redesign, how you take an old park and make it a little more interesting. Fenway Park, she consulted with. So she's worked with all these different places. So we really just talk about the beauty of ballparks and what goes into them. And then we look into famous moments or just the everyday experience that has taken place at each park.
What's the name of the book, Rob?
It's going to be, for the first time, I have not said this yet, so thank you. It's going to be called Sacred Grounds. The name of the book, Sacred Grounds.
I love
Grounds.
That title.
That's going to be the name of the book, Sacred Grounds. And there's going to be a QR code pop. Sorry, I got off track there.
No, but.
But if I'm talking too long, just cut me off if you got to get the break or
no,
whatever.
No, please.
Okay.
Keep going. We don't have breaks.
Okay. So what we're doing is I decided with, we're working with a guy, an author. His name is Kyle Fager, and he's fantastic. Stephen Knezovich, also a marketing and website guy, and a lady named Anna Hall, a small team. Anna lives in Seattle. She's a graphic designer that's laying out the pages and, you know, curating all the photos and all that for us. And I hired a team because obviously I'm not a professional writer. So I wanted people who are really good at writing, and that's what they did for a living. So I hired a small business. So there's 4 of us putting this book together, and each of us have a unique role. And I don't know. I'm not kidding. I don't know how the hell this even happened, but I came up with this idea. I'm like, we have to cater to the short attention span, to the long, and everywhere in between. So what we did was we got these QR codes. I said, let's put a QR code in each book. And I wanted the link to a site because I have over probably 6,000 or 7,000 photos that I've taken. Now, by the time we look at the repeats and all that, it's going to be a little less. But the QR code is going to link to a site. Once you read the short short stories in the book, you can click a QR code and read my whole conversation with that interview subject. So like Justin Morneau, 2006 AL MVP, he's in the book. And then I interviewed a lady who works in Press Dining in Cincinnati. You can read a story about Marty Brenneman busting her chops day in and day out about what that's like. So it's really the people who've given fans moments of greatness and then people who have ridden shotgun for moments of greatness or the everyday experience. I'm chasing down one of Bob Uecker's security guys, too. I got to try to
cool.
to track down him because Bob needed 2 security guards every time he walked around Miller Park. So you can read the interview transcripts. I want to have at least 150 to 200 more pictures of every single ballpark that you're going to be able to check out and basically tour every stadium from the comfort of your own home.
That's a great idea, man. Get us a copy of the book for and then we'll talk about it when it comes out.
I will. Mid-September, yeah.
And perfect.
It's either going to fail spectacularly or it's going to do okay.
Hey,
we'll see.
I think baseball,
hey, but
I
took a big risk.
There are a lot of them out there.
Yeah,
they want to see this kind
and
of
you know,
stuff.
To be honest, I'll you know, talk a little bit on the personal side. I mean, obviously, it's very devastating losing your career when you've done absolutely nothing wrong. You know, and that happened to me here at my job with the Pirates. So this kind of became a passion project and to kind of cash out, if you will, from my career in baseball, and I hope fans out there are going to take a liking to it.
2 minutes left, Robbie. Tell us your most memorable interview of your Pirate career.
Pirate career. Ooh. Oh, man. A whole career, I was going to say Ellen DeGeneres.
Tell us that one.
Because I was in Minnesota when I was with the Twins.
I wouldn't have expected that answer.
But here's why. Here's why, Pomp. So she comes to a game in Minnesota. She was doing something with her programming and doing a media junket. And part of it was an interview with me. Lucky her, right? I meet her an inning and a half ahead of time. Like, hey, Ellen, I know you've been to a ton of baseball games before. And she's like, no, I haven't. I'm like, what? How the hell have you not been to a baseball game before? So I interview her. And I said, can I ask you about that? And Target Field in Minnesota was still new at the time in its second year of operation. She talks about it. The next day, I woke up to like 50 messages. I'm like, what the hell's going on? I just did an interview like I do every night at my job. It was on the front page of Yahoo.com. This was like in 2011. Ellen DeGeneres attends her first baseball game.
Wow. Were you at the wild card game? Were you already on the job here for
I
that?
Was, yes. And yes, I was there. As a fan, we didn't broadcast, so I went as a fan with my friends.
What a game
Amazing.
That was.
Top three game I've ever seen in my life in person.
Ron Cook says the same thing.
It's nothing
Top
will ever
one for him.
I interviewed Sam LaCure, who is a pitcher for the Cincinnati Reds for that game, to talk about what was it like sitting in the bullpen that night when Cueto dropped the ball. What was it like he pitched the eighth inning? What was it like pitching in that environment? And then I talked to Neil Walker about it as well, who played in that game and had the final putout.
Awesome stuff, Robbie.
That was unbelievable. I never heard a chant like that. That's a hockey chant that you would normally get for a goaltender.
Yeah.
And then you got it on.
It was incredible.
I'll hear it for the rest of my life.
I will never forget that as long as I'm alive.
Me too. Robbie, thanks for stopping
in.
Great to see you. Impromptu here.
Bob, thank you guys very much.
I wish you all a lot of luck, and make sure you come back when it's all out, and we'll talk about it even more.
Yes. Pop, you know what I want to know? You have a hat on right now. What does your hair look like under that hat? Because I've never
seen it. It looks great. Are you kidding me?
You
and Rich Walsh, the two best hairdos in Pittsburgh.
Rich,
and
like
I'm angry at both of you.
I have to put a lot of product. He doesn't, so mine is kind of messy right now.
Oh,
I'll show you in a break.
All right. That was cool.
I love your hair, Bob.
Fan Twitter brought to you
Yours
by...
Yours is great. It doesn't move ever either.
I know, but it's not Rich or you.
Restaurant owners, we need you. Register your restaurant now at 937thefan.com to become part of our Dine and Donate Week supporting the Greater Pittsburgh Community Food Bank starting on March 17th through the 23rd. You can join us. That's today, I believe, is the 17th. Am I right about that?
Yes. St. Patrick's Day.
It is
St. Patrick's Day. You can join us at various local restaurants, including Bubba's Gourmet Burgers, three locations, Albero Verde, and more, with part of food sales going to our Feed the Need Radiothon. 50-minute mark on the Fan, brought to you by South Hills Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram, Route 19, Peters Township. Social media's biggest loser, Malzy, is brought to you by Awaken 180. Visit them at awaken180weightloss.com. Bob, you got a better candidate than Malzy?
No, at this point. But that's your de facto pick every time. So, you know, I understand. But no, I don't have any. I was trying to look through Twitter to find some, but I haven't seen so many so far.
All right. Well, Mulsey's always a good choice. And Limits, you have a message for the people,
do you not? Bob, we're very excited for this. Everyone can join Pomp and Joe on Wednesday, March 19th. That's 2 days away. We'll broadcast at Baseball Car Castle in Cranberry for our special Giant Eagle Feed the Need broadcast. You'll be able to call to bid on special items with proceeds going to the Greater Pittsburgh Community Food Bank. So you can support us right now by texting NEED, N-E-E-D, to 501-55, and all the details are at 937thefan.com. Very exciting for Wednesday.
I love that. 1 year, he literally rolled out a red carpet, the general did, for Ron and I, and we didn't, for some reason, I didn't pick up on it, that there was an actual red, I thought it was just part of the normal store, but he rolled out a red carpet.
He went over and above for you.
God only knows what he's going to do for you, Bob. I don't know. It's going to be gigantic.
I'm looking forward to going there, because it's been a while. We've talked about it. I've never done it. So.
Yeah, it's fantastic. What's Cooking brought to you by your local GEICO rep, Tim Hester.
Thank you, Mr. Hester.
Jerry Dulac, if Aaron Rodgers goes elsewhere, what are the Steelers' next QB options? I just got a tweet from somebody saying, are you getting sick of Steeler quarterback talk? Now? No. I mean, maybe like, you know, in the middle of, I don't know, February or something, but now it's heating up. Are you kidding me? We're sitting here waiting if Aaron Rodgers is going to choose the Steelers. They just brought back Mason Rudolph. Mr. Unlimited is still out there. And who knows who they might get if nobody wants them. So Jerry is throwing out some suggestions here, or some things he thinks, you know, are at least imaginable.
Broncos country, let's ride.
That guy is one of them, although as he says, it's become apparent the team is not in any hurry to bring back Russell Wilson right now. He said the only viable trade that makes sense would be to acquire a player such as Kirk Cousins, who the Falcons have decided to keep on their roster. That decision triggered a $10 million roster bonus Cousins would be owed for the 2026 season. And of course, Rudolph back on a two-year, $8 million deal. Bob, I don't know what they do. He says, Dulac says they're going to draft a guy, but not probably not in the first round. He says he'll be surprised if that happens. I won't necessarily be surprised. But where do they go beyond Rodgers and Wilson? Jameis Winston, is he still out there?
I wouldn't do that, but there are options. You mentioned Marcus Mariota, Joe Flacco. You know, I really would have taken Daniel Jones.
Yeah.
Just because. At least he's – I want guys with potential upside, which is why I was so interested in keeping Justin Fields. But if they draft someone in the third or fourth round to be a quarterback, I don't think it's the eventual franchise quarterback they'll be looking for. I think that person will be taken next year.
I'm not so sure about that.
I just think they're going to have a lot of extra surplus in draft capital. They can move a little bit around. And if they see someone they like to move up 5, 6, 10 spots the way they did with Devin Bush, they may be able to do that.
Yeah, I mean, he's talking about a third-round pick this year, almost like you have to take a quarterback. I don't think you take one this year or next year if you don't like him. I mean,
no, if you don't like him, you don't take him. But if you think potentially a guy like Howard out of Ohio State,
I think
or
they like
yours,
Jackson Dart.
I think a lot of people like Jackson Dart. Right,
I don't have any knowledge of that. I should say I hope they like Jackson Dart.
They may not, or they may say we're not doing that at the expense of this. We need this for now to help this position.
Yeah.
So there are a lot of things in play here, but this quarterback situation, I have a feeling, is going to carry into next year. We're going to be in the same kind of situation, which is why you got to get it figured out sooner rather than later if you can.
And he also, Jerry, talks about Mason Rudolph and says, despite past indecision and even more reluctance with their former third-round choice, the Steelers think Rudolph showed them enough at the end of the 2023 season to be an effective, albeit temporary, starter. Why didn't they just bring him back last year then, if they thought that?
Yeah, I thought if that's how they felt, they should have done that last year. They had every opportunity to do it, and they didn't.
And he says that might seem hard to believe based on the way they've treated Rudolph in the past. I've never bought this one, Bob, the alleged mistreatment of Mason Rudolph.
No, he had plenty of opportunities to get in there. And I did think, though, because of the way he ended that 2 years ago, that run that got three wins into the playoffs, I thought he would be back. Maybe not as a starter, but he would get a contract from them, and he didn't.
I mean, I think they were pretty good to Mason Rudolph. They drafted him. That's the first thing. Moved up to draft him. He got his chance when Ben went down, and even got a chance later in the year after he was horrible in the Cleveland game, the night that Myles Garrett attacked him, then was horrible in a Cincinnati game right after that and got benched. They still brought him back later in the year. And I believe gave him a start against the Jets with the playoffs on the line.
Yeah, he did well in that game, I thought.
And he got hurt.
He got hurt.
Had to bring back in Duck.
Right.
So I don't know that I would have given him another chance after what happened that year and how bad he was in those two games. But they did. And then when they brought him in a couple years ago, with the whole Pickett stuff going on, he played a really good game. They didn't have to bring him back. Tomlin could have justified, hey, Pickett's our starter. He got hurt. He's coming back into the lineup. They let Mason go right in through the playoff game, played the playoff game. Where is all the mistreatment of Mason Rudolph? Not to mention, Tomlin went above and beyond to defend Mason Rudolph when Myles Garrett accused him of uttering a racial slur, and Tomlin essentially said, that did not happen. I would know if that happened, he said. He went on Stephen A. Smith and said, that did not happen.
Right. No, he totally defended him. And, you know, I was surprised that they just let him walk to Tennessee. I thought they'd create a spot for him. That's all.
Right.
It doesn't have to be a starter spot. At the time, they didn't know what was going to happen there.
Yeah.
Then the Kenny Pickett stuff fell apart. And all of a sudden, now they're revamping the entire quarterback room.
They also, by the way, gave him $3 million to stand around with a clipboard. And if him or his agent were stupid enough to believe that after they signed Mitch Trubisky and drafted a guy in the first round, that Mason Rudolph was going to get a legit chance to start that year, they were out of their minds. You don't sign a free agent and then draft somebody in the first round and find a way to stage you can't have a legitimate three-man competition in camp. So I'm not buying that one either.
No.
And now he's back, and he's back for one reason, because they've been rejected and because they're desperate. That's why.
And because of it, he gets a two-year deal for $8.5 million. Good for him. He might end up being the starter on opening day. And if that's the case, that's fine. If it gets down to this and that's where we are, so be it. See what he does. You know you're going to draft quarterbacks in the next year and two,
right.
Maybe both years. And that's the most important thing you got to figure out. I am not of the belief. And by the way, does Jerry seem to suggest that the Aaron Rodgers deal is not a two-year deal? It's a one-year deal?
One year. That's what he's saying.
Okay.
Yeah. He also said it's not about money, but I'm inferring from all that it could be about term.
Could be about term. It could be about I still think money is a big factor. If he's going to get paid, he wants to get whatever he can get for his final rodeo. So I do think money is still an issue.
Yeah. And the other thing with Rudolph is that he made $10 million here. He's a fringe quarterback. This is life on the fringe. They draft a guy, he's ahead of you. They bring in Aaron Rodgers, he's ahead of you. They sign even Mitch Trubisky in free agency, he's ahead of you. That's life as a fringe athlete in professional sports.
There's nothing wrong with being a fringe athlete making $10 million, I can tell you that.
Right.
Because in the real world in which we live, that goes a long way.
Thank you, Bob. Good night.
Good night. See you, Joe. Bye, Austin.
Bye. See you.